So what all do you have? A business, cars, houses, properties, bank accounts? Are you concerned that any of these can be taken away from you if someone sues you? Have you done all you can to protect all of your assets? Well, you really ought to get in touch with the experts down at Barth Calderon LLP. They're a law firm that specializes in asset protection and estate planning, and they can help you protect what's yours so that predators and creditors can't get their hands on them. Give them a call at 800-548-8564. That's 1-800-548-8564 for a free consultation. Hey, tell them the Exit Coach sent you. When creating an exit strategy, business owners can't just account for the health of their books. They also must consider the health of their brand. Financials say a lot about an organization, but public awareness can mean the difference for a company that sells and a company that sits. I've known the talented PR team at HKA for many years, and I've seen firsthand how marketplace visibility equals marketplace value. If your brand needs a boost, contact the marketing communications experts at HKA by calling 714-426-0444 or visit them online at www.hkamarcom.
Bill Black is a registered representative with and securities offered through Crown Capital Securities LP member, FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Barth Financial Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from CCS. Any opinions are those of Bill Black and not necessarily those of Crown Capital Securities LP or Barth Financial Advisors, LLC. California Insurance License 0652621.
Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome. Thanks so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us. Well, we're towards the end of summer here. We're just about to ring the bell on Labor Day, and our TVs turn to football. Football season always reminds me of the analogy of a football team when it comes to your advisor team. And let me tell you a little bit about how that works. Let's say you're the owner of a football team, and you go out and you hire a coach, and you hire a coach because he's going to get to know the players that you have on the field. He's going to tell you what you need, and he's going to draw up a playbook. And again, this playbook is going to be the myriad of plays you can run during a game in different situations. And the coach is going to teach the players how to run all of those plays, make sure they're all in the right position at the right time at the beginning of each of those plays. And more importantly, they're going to put the right players on the field at the right time. And the coach is going to be kind of looking over the game as a strategist and figure out what's the next play, who should be on the field, who should be off the field. Well, that's kind of like what happens when you work with somebody in the field of exit planner or an advisor. You want to make sure that they've looked at your overall situation, seen what your assets are, what your goals are, and make sure that the right advisors are on the clock at the right time and make sure they're not on the clock when they don't need to be. And so you gain a lot of efficiency with that approach. So the whole concept of being an owner of a team or owner of a business is very, very similar when it comes down to it. You need people to help you call the right plays, get the right people on the field, get efficiency into your game so that you ultimately win the game. And speaking of that, we have put together a lot of great content for you today, but we also have at our website, exitcoachradio.com, over 1,000 interviews you can listen to. And by the way, if you need to leave the radio, leave your car, you can always listen to these recorded episodes of Exit Coach Radio on the website or on your smartphone. We have an Apple app in the App Store you can go to. And also we have another great tool, great website called bizgrowth123.com. And that's a place where you can go and learn where your business currently sits and what strategies you need to put in play, where you're strong and weak, so that you can get help where you need it and grow a business that is sustainable, transferable, and valuable. And we all need that in our playbook someday. We're going to have to exit our business one way or the other, voluntarily or otherwise. So hope you'll check those websites out, exitcoachradio.com and bizgrowth123.com. And we have a free report for anybody who wants to get that, 10 ways you can grow the value of your business. All you have to do is text the word drivers, D-R-I-V-E-R-S, drivers, to 44222. I'll tell you that again. Text drivers to 44222, and you'll get a free report we put together for you right to your inbox, 10 ways to grow the value of your business. Hope you enjoy the show today. Thanks so much for joining us. Talk to you again soon. Hey everyone, this is Bill Black, the Exit Coach. You know, protecting your family and business is essential for your peace of mind. If you have legal and financial concerns that keep you awake at night, check out Albert Roche at ocbusinesslaw.com. Albert is an Orange County attorney with an MBA in finance and accounting. He's focused his practice on seniors and their families. He has in-depth knowledge and experience in the areas of estate planning, taxes, and wealth management, and supports families with their most private matters. If you need someone who will listen to you and provide expert legal and financial support, call Albert Roche at 714-432-0794. That's 714-432-0794. Or go to ocbusinesslaw.com. Hey everybody, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach. You know, we talk about a lot of business topics, but by far the question I'm asked the most is, how do I grow the value of my business so I can sell it someday for an outrageous price? So we've created a special report for you on 10 tips to grow the value of your business. Just text the word drivers to 44222 to get this special free report delivered right to your inbox. That's drivers to 44222. Text drivers to 44222. Now it's time for sales tips with Brad Leggett of the Leggett Group.
Let's talk about something a lot of people worry about. How do I pay a salesperson? For instance, base versus commission. What do you recommend?
Bill, the first thing we need to look at is the type of sales job we have. Some good rules of thumb, if it's a proactive sales position, either inside or outside sales, where they're responsible for gaining new business for the company, I want to keep a base at 50% or less in total compensation, and the other half as incentives, be the bonus and target. And when I talk about that 50-50, let's take a job that would pay $100,000 at target, meaning they made their numbers, then $50,000 in base, $50,000 in incentives. If I've got somebody that's just a lead generation person, it's one of the few times that I advocate most of the incentive be on activities. They should be paid primarily for generating the lead and turning over what's considered a qualified lead, with a small amount on the back end to pay for successful sales, just to keep them aligned. Third key type of position are sales support positions. People like tech salespeople, people like do the demos, those folks, I don't look for more than 20% of their pay to be an incentive income.
To get in touch with Brad, go to his website at leggettsales.com. This segment features Pete Walsh, who's joining us from Family Business Performance Center. Pete, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Pete, we're going to talk about the need for better communication skills to create successful succession and transition. It's such an important topic, and I'm so looking forward to talking with you about it. We always like to start by getting to know a little bit about our guests. Can you share a little bit about your background and how you got into this particular line of work?
Yeah, Bill, I actually was in a family business. We had a 300-person business. I had a degree in management and marketing, and just loved so much about the business, but actually fell into a lot of family dynamics. And after 16 years, I decided I had to leave the family business. I've been coaching in corporate America and then family businesses for about 15 years, and really wanted to kind of give families some of the tools I was missing way back in the day.
So with your background, gave you a great perspective on family transition, and what was the outcome?
For me, I ended up leaving the business, and it actually turned out good for my family in the long run. I love coaching. I love helping leaders in their businesses, and our family business eventually sold to Target Corporation. And, you know, when I look back now, I think that was a good end for us in that case.
Yeah, it's, you know, the sad thing about family businesses is sometimes they lead to unhappy Thanksgivings.
They really do. They really do. You'd be amazed. I mean, you know that there's just so much energy and animosity. And in my case, I had my own young family and my wife and kids. And for a lot of family business participants, that frustration starts to take center stage in your life. And for me, I had to go, but now my life's work's really about trying to help others have the tools to really discuss the issues and get them figured out.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that things ultimately worked out. Sometimes the outside sale is the best situation, and, you know, that's how it is. But how could things have been different? How could, and what did you learn from the experience, I guess I should say?
Well, you know, I later came to find out that I had a different personality style than my uncle who ran the business. The other thing that was an issue in our family was we were a 90-year-old business, and we really just didn't have kids and family members in the next level of the business that were interested in the business. So one of the things that we work with families a lot nowadays is helping them prepare the next generation, educate them, get them involved in the business, because, you know, if a family business doesn't have that next group of up-and-coming leaders and business people, then they're really not going to make a successful transition.
Yeah, and getting to that, of course, if they don't have family members that are interested, maybe it's key employees, but there's still, no matter what, there's going to be a power struggle. But if it's a family business, there's the added layer of the family dynamics, and is dad, who owns the business, wearing the father hat or the CEO hat, and is the son, who is going to transfer the business to, wearing the son hat or the president hat? And can they make those distinctions when they're at the workplace? And that's really what it, a lot of what you do is to help them recognize those roles and be effective in their communications. Is that correct?
Well, it really is. You know, objectivity is so hard to get when you're in the family. And then the beautiful thing about my path was I went and coached in corporate America for 15 years. And corporate America is really good at defining the competencies needed for leadership. So a lot of times in the family business, they really don't have those distinctions. So we have a process where we can help families, if you will, hold the yardstick up against the people in the business to more objectively and rationally really make some decisions about who's best suited to lead the business, or what do we need to develop those skills. And, you know, you hit the nail on the head. For so many families, all those relationships get tangled up. So one of my favorite things is I say, I many times go in and tell dad, shut up and give the kid a little bit of room. And then I tell the kid, shut up and listen to your dad. He's actually got a lot of good things to teach you.
Wow. I'm as you're saying that, I'm picturing some of the family dynamics that I've dealt with over the years. And it seems like those are words that need to be expressed, but also, of course, in a caring, loving way, everybody needs to understand that the business requires your full attention to what's happening here.
No question about it. And, you know, one of the gifts that I bring is a little bit of humor and lightness and compassion. You kind of alluded to it. So, you know, when we get there so many times, they're just so seriously locked up about all of it. And it is a process over time to really get them to begin to communicate, get some dialogue going, get a little bit of lightness about the situation. And then the other thing with the Family Business Performance Center is that we offer a ton of free tools and exercises, because part of what I realized is I'm not going to be able to help a lot of families in the time that I have left. I'm still a young man, but there's so many family businesses out there. So a big part of the Family Business Performance Center is a ton of free tools and videos. So families can just start reading those, using those on their own. And then if they want, they can use them with the help of us or other advisors like the people you have on your show. I mean, there's a lot of really great professionals that are committed to helping these families get from point A to point B.
How important is the family business retreat?
You know, it's one of my favorite things to do. In fact, we're doing a bunch of them this summer. It's so important to really get the family together and to interact and to talk about family vision, family values. And in those retreats is really a great place for some of the teenagers to start to wade into those conversations in kind of a safe format. And again, a lot of families, they know they need to do that, but they're a bit reluctant or nervous how to do it. And so we offer some really simple recipes, if you will, that they can follow on their own in terms of some do's and don'ts for setting up and executing a good family retreat.
Now, I know that's fantastic, and I think the family retreat is a wonderful idea, but the family retreat with a dedicated agenda is really what it's all about. Is, you know, this is we're going to have fun and have do family stuff, but we need to talk about issues. We need to talk about some very difficult issues sometimes, and we need an agenda or maybe even a coach to walk us through that, right?
Well, yeah, and the other thing in my work is deliberate practice. And so, you know, if I went down to the gym and you tried to give me some barbells with 250 pounds, I might hurt myself or kill myself. So with some families, were in their third or fourth or fifth retreat. I was with a family last summer, a really successful family on the East Coast. They were in their 12th retreat. So, you know, if you're going to learn to run a marathon, you got to first run a block and then a mile and then a couple of miles. So the other thing we try to instill upon the family is it's a process over time. So the first retreat might just be creating some safety and trust in the process. The second retreat, we might just start to get into some more of the tricky issues. And then after trust has been built, then they start taking on the more difficult issues. But this leads to another thing, which is so many families don't start soon enough. And you know this in your work that, you know, they're kind of thinking, well, Dad's going to leave at some point. And then all of a sudden they start to try to fit it all in a short period of time. So I say to families, you really want to give yourself a long runway to work with this process.
Oh, I think, you know, what you just said is a fantastic idea to have the shallow end first. You know, let's not try to solve all the family issues or set the full agenda in this first meeting. Let's start with some very, very basic things to get people communicating and involved and feel like they're a part of this whole thing. Now, you also, of course, you're going to have situations and a lot of times where there's one, maybe two children that are involved with the business and others that aren't, and they're not interested in the business at this time. But when something happens, and let's say the owner, the dad passes away, they become very interested in a bad sort of way sometimes. So how do you deal with situations like that? Is that part of the communication process?
It really is. And that's the beauty of getting involved early, having Dad talk about that, and really creating ways that these folks can start to work together. Because, again, you just said it, you know, the last thing Dad wants is he leaves abruptly, and now the business is in more turmoil than it needs to be. So some of these family members that aren't active in the business, we're teaching them actually how to be on the board of directors. You know, we're talking about governance. We're talking about going from owner-operator to owner-investor. So in our family, there were several family members that owned stock in the business but weren't involved in it, but we had a family board. And so there's different ways to teach people to have different roles, and we actually use the term you used at the top of the interview. We teach them how to wear different hats. So we teach them how to actually be a good owner, be a good investor, as opposed to, you know, being a brother that's swooping in and starting to criticize the brother who's been down there working for 20 years.
Yeah, that's always a problem, the different agendas that people have. Let's say dad passes away and there's one son working in the business and a couple other children that aren't, and mom wants to be taken care of like she's always been taken care of. She wants income. The person working in the business wants to grow the business, and the people that are outside of the business are wondering, when do we get our inheritance, and is the business part of that? And the worst thing dad can do is not have planned for that situation.
Well, you said it, and I really work in leadership and communication, and then other experts really help the family model the financial performance, what that's going to look like, how people are going to get what they need out of the business, and, you know, what we call a multidisciplinary approach. So you get a group, a team of experts that can really help the family from a number of perspectives. But the other thing is the coach, again, I get to say some things to the family that other people don't want to say. So I get to a little bit deliver some of the tough love that is needed to help get from point A to point B.
And it's not always an easy position to be in, I'm sure, but it is, like you said, it's said with love. I'm sure when you tell the business owner to shut up, you probably got a smile on your face, at least a little bit. And they know that it's coming from, you're there to help steer this through this potentially troubled water. And we've all seen situations where businesses fall apart or have fallen apart. So it's very important work that you do. Tell me a little bit about your family business survival kit.
Well, that's a free kit that they can get at the site, and it really has a bunch of tools that we think are foundational to the work. There's a quick personality profile. People have different personality types. I talked about that. That was an important thing that we were working with in my business. We have a communication fundamentals kit that teaches people how to listen to each other, how to start speaking with respect to each other. And then we have a conversations for success playbook, which is really, Bill, a bunch of different topics with a bunch of different good coaching questions. So again, they can do it with us or without us, but it really gives them a step-by-step way to start to get from the shallow end to the deep end. And that's where the conversation and the communication is so important. But great coaching's many times about asking great questions. So in the Family Business Survival Kit are, you know, probably 100 of the best questions that we've been asking families for the last 10 years.
Well, it sounds like a great resource, and that's available at your website, which is familybusinessperformance.com, correct?
Yeah, and Bill, there's one other thing, which is the Family Business Landmine Detection Map. Because the other thing is, for these families, they know there's some issues under the surface, but they're not quite sure where they are and how to get to them. But that's the other thing is, when one of those landmines goes off, it's a lot harder for people like you and I to help the family piece things back together. So the landmine detection map is a really neat infographic that really kind of walks them through all of the potential areas. And there's a checklist with that as well. So that can kind of help the family do their own self-diagnostic about where the issues might lay. That'll help them understand what's in the deep end.
And it's very, you know, it's very effective to do some self-analysis and use some of these tools and checklists before you call someone so that you can kind of understand what the problems are and talk to them effectively. So, Pete Walsh, thanks very much for your work. And if people want to get in touch with you, besides going to www.familybusinessperformance.com, what's the best number for them to call you?
602-952-9015. And we offer just a quick, simple sounding board, we call it, where we can, you know, they can tell us a little bit about their issues and we can give them a little bit of guidance.
The name of the company is Family Business Performance Center, and you've heard a ton of great information today from Pete. Thanks very much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And of course, love to have you back at some other point so we can go deeper on the topic, because it's one that's very important to all of us.
Thanks, Bill. You're doing important work, and I listened to the show this morning, and there's just so much great information. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much, Pete. Thanks for joining us. I've been talking with Pete Walsh from Family Business Performance Center, and we're going to take a short break. We're going to come right back, so please stay tuned.
Hey everyone, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach, and we want you to sell your business for an outrageous price someday. So I'm going to rattle off three ways you can grow the value of your business. You can motivate and retain key employees by focusing them on increasing profits. You can get your financial books in order, and you can work on developing strong processes and systems. Now, we put together a free report for you on several other ways you can grow the value of your business. To get our free report, just text the word DRIVERS to 44222, and we'll send it right to your inbox. Again, text the word DRIVERS to 44222. That's DRIVERS to 44222. Get our free report today. And thanks for listening. This is Bill Black, the Exit Coach. Attention, business owners and construction companies. Do you know that one lawsuit can cause you to lose your business? According to the SBA, 20 out of 22 companies that get sued go out of business within 2 years. Lawsuits can be frustrating and financially draining. Gassemian Law Group has over 16 years of experience in business and construction law to give you peace of mind by not only defending you in lawsuits, but helping you avoid them in the first place. Don't wait for a lawsuit. Call for a free 20-minute phone consultation to evaluate your company's risk before trouble begins. Call 949-436-2785. That's 949-436-2785, or visit them online at www.glgattorneys.com. That's glgattorneys.com.
And now the Exit Coach Radio Show proudly presents the All-Star Review, a compilation of one-minute highlights from past guests. Hear more one-minute highlights and full interviews from these guests at ExitCoachRadio.com.
Of all the things that can happen on the way to the sale of your business, having a deal fall apart because of sloppy financials is probably the worst. Here's expert Addison Adams.
In the sale of a company, you are in a very cooperative process with the other side. If you're the seller of the business and the buyer is coming in and evaluating whether to buy your business, there needs to be a high level of trust there. A trust that you are not only being open and honest about your business and what you know about it, but also credibility that you know what you're talking about. And that when you hand over your financial statements, for example, they're clean, they're correct, they're complete, and they're not misleading. Preferably they're audited, and not only currently audited, but going back several years. And this is so that there is a confidence that comes in from the point of view of the buyer.
You're the trustee of your company's 401k or profit sharing plan. You have certain responsibilities. What can happen when things go wrong? We ask Buck Blanton.
We have a responsibility when we run qualified plans as a business owner, or in that world, we call it a plan sponsor. That person has a responsibility of due care and due loyalty to the participant. And sometimes we forget that when we run plans and we do other things. But as you said, those breaches can become kind of onerous. The 2013 audit year, there were 3,566 audits performed by the Department of Labor, and more than $2.7 billion with a B dollars in fines and penalties were levied. All of those things can be done and levied against corporate officers personally. It's not your corporate seat that might get sued or levied. It's going to be you personally.
What are some of the biggest challenges facing family businesses in their management transition? We ask Transition Consulting Group's David and Paul Karofsky for their thoughts regarding this topic.
As the baby boomers are coming of age and getting a little bit older, as the next generation is starting to get a little bit older and come into that leadership position, this transfer of not only monetary wealth, but you're talking about the businesses, the assets, whatever it might be, there needs to be a plan to transfer that seamlessly. To my dad's point, the more planning you do and you talk about it as to what that transition of ownership looks like, what is that transition of leadership? Those two are not the same. They can be similar in tie, but they can be mutually exclusive as well. But until you really have a plan as to how you transfer that business from one generation to the next, it's very difficult to do it.
When a parent passes away, sometimes dealing with mom or dad's effects can be challenging. Here's senior real estate expert Allison Whitaker.
There's different levels of sorting through things. And so we work with organizers and professional inventory people, estate sale planners. And basically, they come in and they will help you sort. Is this a donation pile? Is this a for sale pile? Are these items things that we need to send off to our auction house in London to get appraised and actually auction off? There's different auction houses as well, not just Sotheby's. If it's sports memorabilia, you know, that we would recommend using. There's also that element of, is it a good time to sell the house when it comes to taxes? Taxes are a whole nother conversation, and a lot of times people think, well, the market's up, we should just sell the house, but there could be some tax ramifications depending upon the way the estate has been set up, that maybe it's better to rent it out for a couple years.
With all the social media platforms to choose from, why has YouTube become so popular? We asked Joan Pounds.
The younger generations do a lot more visually, so a lot of times your YouTube videos and things like that are better ways to reach out to them. I found out through my son, actually, who's a teenager, that YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world. And I never even thought about going to YouTube to find out how to do something. And the beauty about YouTube is we can create our own videos right now from our phones and upload them to YouTube. And the neat thing about that is you're creating your own celebrity during that time. People buy from those they know, like, and trust. And that's one way for people to reach out, begin to know you and to like you and to trust you.
Family businesses can be very challenging sometimes. Here's Roseanne Levy from the Roark Group.
What I tell people is think about your family and think about working with them. We address many issues of families who work together and really help them resolve them. What are they dealing with? What are their major issues? And, you know, just from there, we, you know, work with the family, work with all members of the family. Of course, all the family members have to be in agreement to say, okay, we want to make this better, we want it to work, because God knows in many cases they're not interested in cooperating and they each go their own way, and then the business tends to not thrive. So we're very much on top of what families go through. And I did have one member, I love to share this, who said, gosh, if we could only learn to run our businesses with our heads and not our hearts, we'd be a lot more successful. So that's always stayed with me, and it's really the truth.
John Murphy and David Horwich help business owners think like business buyers. Here's some of the common things that they see out there.
We tend to find many of the same things. We look at management. We look at the financial foundation. How good are the numbers, both historically and in the future? We look at the growth. What we often find is business owners spend too much money on growth. They plant a lot of seeds, and they plant too many seeds because they don't take enough time sometimes up front to determine what are the criteria they should use to judge the seeds, so they kind of plant a lot.
Another common theme that's been running through a lot of our clients over the last year or so has been sales operations and sales strategy and sales operations and development. A lot of companies that we've been working with, they're stalled out in growth and they're not sure why. And what we have found in taking a good hard look at them is that they don't have a great sales strategy in place. So we help them assess that, put that in place, and then get it going.
Okay, so you're ready to start your exit plan. We asked for three quick tips from Stacy McKibben.
Get your number. What is it that you're retiring to or that you're working towards? Understand what that is. That'll help your team to be able to help you to work backwards from that. So know that number and be prepared. Two is look around at your team. Core values of a company are exuded and exemplified by their team. More often than not, the challenges that I see in profitability are due to the fact of lack of productivity by the team. Lastly is run your business like you drive your car. You look at your car with a dashboard, you would get in a car and you would make sure that you had enough gas, that there was no check engine light on. All of those same things apply in your business. Do you have a clear dashboard? Do you understand how to read it? You don't need to be an accountant, but you do need to understand what the numbers are, and that is the health radiant of a business.
This is Bill Black, the founder and host of the Exit Coach Radio Show. Recently, we asked national radio show host Ed Till to listen to our show and offer his comments. Here's his review.
It's because if you don't control the company, you can't generally sell the interest very readily. There's not usually a market for the stock.
So you see that if you're a business owner over the age of 50 at exitcoachradio.com, they interview advisors and get the best tips, the best ideas, and the best precautions so you can be well-planned. They load a new one-minute tip every day. You know, wisdom and insight sometimes are not sensational, but they're extremely compelling when you hear them. It's the content of what's being said. Isn't clarity, in addition to business advice, but clarity and common sense grounding, doesn't that sound so refreshing? They have the tips, the ideas, the precautions, the wisdom, the insights that you need. A one-minute tip every day at exitcoachradio.com. Come and listen for a minute. Hear from those who are on the front line. Introduce you to how to avoid pitfalls, how to overcome adversity, how to learn from the trials and tribulations of others and get the essence of their solution. You know, kick it around, bend it around, and make it work for you. But exitcoachradio.com is where it all begins. We heard about it here on the Ed Till Show because it's supportive of what you're doing every day. That's way ahead of it. Remember that when you thought the high school prom was a big deal in your life? Try being an over 50 business owner at exitcoachradio.com. They help. It's not easy. That's why they help at exitcoachradio.com.
My next guest is Roger Winsby.
Roger is the president and co-founder of Axiom Valuation Solutions in Wakefield, Massachusetts. Roger, welcome to the show.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. And we're going to talk about what every business owner needs to know about valuing their business, which is an update on a book that you co-authored back in 2002, correct?
That's right.
And the way I understand it, and it's a great book, is business transition is going through a tidal wave. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Before we get into that, Roger, can you tell our listeners something about your professional background?
Sure. I started out at Data Resources, which was the largest economic forecasting and data analysis firm back in the 70s. And I started in Washington as a consultant helping government clients use economic models and data and applications to solve complex problems. And, you know, I was very successful with that, rose up in the organization, and eventually moved to the headquarters outside of Boston and became the group vice president in charge of business consulting. And what we were doing there is mainly working with, you know, Fortune 500 companies, building better sales forecasting models and market planning systems. And that really gave me a lot of experience in understanding, you know, business models in different industries and what are the key value drivers. And I also had the great fortune of meeting my co-founder here at Axiom, who's Dr. Stan Feldman. He was a senior executive there in charge of industry and regional forecasting, and we found that we were kind of the exception. We, among the senior executives, we worked well together and had very successful joint projects. So mm-hmm. I then sort of took a detour. I went off, had the opportunity to become the COO of a market research firm in Boston, and ended up doing a number of studies of the private business owner market for some large insurance companies. And you know, since I'd mainly worked with, you know, large companies before, I was really quite surprised at how strong and how diverse the small business market had become. And we were doing qualitative and quantitative surveys there of owners and key advisors like yourself and CPAs, attorneys. And one of the most striking things we found was that business valuation was a major pain point for the owners. They, you know, the owners complained about how much it cost. They complained that you know, they didn't get a fixed price up front. There was no fixed time frame. And most importantly, they really felt they never really understood the number. And, you know, if the CPA told them it was okay for what they wanted to do, they would live with it. But they really didn't feel like they had gained something. So this was really quite striking to me at the time. That it was one of the key observations that we all took away from this. And so, you know, I started thinking about that, and we started looking at how big this market was. And I realized that there really was an amazing opportunity out there to address this valuation pain point and to actually create a business that would, you know, leverage the Internet, which was just coming up in the 2000 period, was becoming, you know, very widespread.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached back to my old friend Stan, who had also left and was a professor teaching valuation at Bentley University here, and we started talking about how we could offer, you know, be a company that focused on valuation only, offered it nationwide, you know, offered fixed price and fixed time frame, and really focused on educating owners about what really does drive value. We just finally took the plunge, started it up, and, back in 2000, we actually started our first valuations in August of 2001. So, when September 11th came along, it kind of shook the economy a little bit. But, we wrote the book at that time and essentially created a nice little niche and have been growing ever since.
So out of a chance meeting, out of a identification of a need and confusion in the marketplace about what goes into a valuation and the recognition that there would be this tidal wave, Axiom Valuation was born.
Exactly.
And I've worked with you several times. You do great work. You create a great product to help business owners understand, and part of that is by actually talking them through and having interviews with them about what's going to go into the valuation. So you guys do great work. But
thank you very much.
Let's talk about that business transition tidal wave for a second, Roger. We've been hearing for a number of years that the baby boomers are all, getting older. Of course, they're all over age 50 now, as of this year.
Yep.
And they're thinking about it. Nobody can work forever. But what's your current outlook on the business transition tidal wave?
Well, it's happening, but it was much slower than we thought back then. I think we get credit for at least, naming the phenomenon back then. But, obviously one of the things that happened was, 2001 with both, the September 2001, the terrorist attack, but also just the economic, upheaval at that time. I think it forced a number of people to really defer their plans. And then, as they started building out of that and a lot of businesses started growing again, then we had the 2008 recession. So, as you never want to sell your business when things are, have been on the downside for a while. So it definitely, pushed a lot of people, back in their planning.
Yes.
A second part of it, I think, was that, we underestimated how many businesses would actually find it difficult to sell because they're too reliant upon the owner or the owners, and they haven't really worked through a good transition plan. But there's still a lot of things happening. We see a lot of businesses every day now that are looking at these issues and looking at the clock and saying, I really need to get working on this now. And fortunately, there's a lot of private equity firms out there with money to put into businesses and the ESOP option. And, there's a variety of plans that you're obviously very well aware of to help owners try to make that transition happen.
Yeah, in some ways it's kind of, it worked out okay evolutionary-wise because we're living longer and we need to because of the economic speed bumps we've experienced. Business owners I talk to all the time are interested. They're, how do I value my business? Can you just give me a thumbnail approach or a rule of thumb like one times revenue or five times EBITDA or something like that? Why do you think they should not rely on simple valuation formulas like that?
Well, that's a great question. When you look at the transaction data that's out there in Pratt Stats and BizComps, you find in most industries that there's simply no continuity of results. There's a fairly wide divergence across the industry. And so using an average or a median of a widely varying range doesn't really make sense. And the second part of it, Bill, is that you're really not understanding what drives value, because valuation is really about a sense of future opportunities offset by the risks. And if you don't really think those through as it relates to each individual company, you won't really understand whether you might be above average on that multiple or below average. But it's going to be quite rare when you're right on the average or the median.
Now, you talk about the future opportunities minus risks. Now, as a valuation expert, how important is it for you to talk to the owner about their outlook, about their current operations and where they've been and where they're going and all of that?
That's very important, and it's quite an issue that comes up in terms of understanding the business and being able to document your findings. A big part of that is that valuation is really about future. And as much as people want to say, well, here are my retained earnings and here's what I've done, and that's very important context. But ultimately, if someone wants to buy the business, they're buying the future opportunity and weighing that against the future risks. Okay. So it's very important to get management's sense of where the business is going. And then independently make your own assessment of how realistic that is, and make adjustments if you need to.
benchmarking that against what's actually happening in that particular industry or looking for
yes.
problems down the road. Now, you say it's about the future. I think a lot of potential sellers out there are saying, well, I can't really go to market now because I've already figured out that if there's no E in the EBITDA, no multiple will work. But for a lot of business owners that are emerging from a very difficult time, is there hope for them as far as evaluation? Let's say they're, you know, the last 3 or 4 years haven't been that great, but they've had a great past before that, and now they're starting to come back. How does that, what can you say about that kind of a situation?
Well, number one, you always want to look to see if there are restatements, you know, because, you know, as I know some of your other guests have made the same point that, you know, unless you've kind of separated out your personal or one-time expenses, you know, you don't really get an accurate sense of what the business is. But there's no question that, you know, if you had some strong growth in the past, but you've had some tough years recently, you just need to build a compelling story to a potential buyer. It's going to be a very hard story to a financial buyer because they're going to look at it and say, well, I really can't, you know, bet on that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can find a buyer where there's synergistic benefits that would say that, you know, the combination of these companies will allow them to do something more, save some money, expand some markets, that's really where your best opportunities will lay to find, you know, some kind of strategic buyer.
So if I hear you right, what you're saying, it's not only important as to the story that you tell, but who you tell it to. When you're researching potential buyers for your business, you need to be thinking about positioning yourself as strategic to somebody based on your niche and your growth and your special, unique offerings.
That's right. I mean,
yeah.
You know, we tell people that there really are multiple, you know, definitions of value, and that's one of the key things in evaluation is decide which one you're working with. But, you know, fair market value is the common standard, and we all know it's described as willing buyer, willing seller, but in reality, it's really a willing buyer standard. There's almost never a willing seller at that price because their time frame is much longer. They see the business. They've been in the business, you know, they see it as an ongoing income stream, whereas the buyers look to get a return on their investment in a fairly limited amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got your strategic value out there, as strategic buyers will look at, you know, as I said, synergies. But the challenge with strategic buyers is that, you know, when we do a strategic value analysis for a client, you know, we'll look at what we think the buyer could justify paying, but that doesn't mean they'll pay it. They'll only pay that if they feel they have to. You know, if there's a competitive bid from one of their, you know, fierce competitors, then they'll be willing to pay that. But you really have to point that out to the owners that there really are these different values to look at.
Yeah, and it's eye-opening for a lot of business owners because, again, they're stuck thinking about the multiple of EBITDA or revenues.
Right, right.
Now, you talked about risk factors before. What are some of the key risk factors that reduce the value of a business to potential buyers, Roger?
Well, certainly, you know, number one, it tends to be this question about reliance upon the owners. And if the owners are really behind all the sales or all the key relationships, then that's a very serious risk factor. You know, another one is whether if they have done a good job of kind of building that next level management team, there's the question of, you know, is that management team on board to be bought by somebody else and let the founders leave? And then, you know, a third big one is the issue of customer reliance or supplier reliance. You know, if there's a case where there's, you know, a critical supplier that controls everything or a few key customers, those are other factors. And the final one we often look at is just, you know, how transparent the financials are. And if there are lots of restatements, you know, there's an automatic discounting that goes on, you know, for any potential buyer.
Great points. And, you know, I've used your services in some cases where people say, I just want to do maybe an insider transfer. And what I've counseled people is that, well, what you want to do is engage a service like Axiom and have the owner interview and have the key employee that you want to maybe transfer to present on the conference call so they can hear all of the details so that you're not suspecting each other of bad valuation information. And you have a variety of tactics for that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that's one of our real strong points. We do a number of what I call amicable situations for buy-ins and buy-outs. And, you know, just because we use a very fact-based and assumption-driven approach, you know, people can disagree on some of the facts and some of the assumptions, and we can actually run those through and see the differences. But at the end of the process, you know, we have a very good track record of having people, you know, realize that they're not that far apart, and they kind of understand where they got there, and they realize also that, you know, there's a real cost to not agreeing and, you know, becoming distracted from the business and, you know, running up additional valuation and legal costs. So, you know, I agree completely. That's really one of the best ways to make it happen is to have people getting their inputs in and seeing, you know, how it really flows through the model.
Well, I think that's really important that people understand that valuation isn't just a price tag. It's really a reflection of everything going into the valuation, and you guys do a great job with that. Roger, how do our listeners get in touch with Axiom and you?
Well, they can go to our website, which is www.axiomvaluation.com.
That's A-X-I-O-M, valuation,
That's right, valuation.com. Okay. Or they can call us, you know, at 781-486-0100 or 800-477-8258.
And are you open to talking with people who are saying, well, I'm just kind of kicking the tires to find out different types of valuations and maybe I want
Absolutely.
To use you? Okay.
So we offer a free consultation. You know, most of the time, I mean, Bill, you and I have met face-to-face, but most of the people we work with around the country, you know, I've never met face-to-face. So, you know, we realize we need to spend time on the phone and help people understand, you know, who we are and what we do and just make sure they're comfortable because, you know, they're sending their information to us, their you know, confidential information to us, and you know, helping, you know, we're helping them do something that's very important for their ultimate planning.
Again, that was Roger Winsby from Axiom Valuations. We'll be right back.
It's time for another Experts Corner with Jeffrey M. Verdon of Verdon Law Group with his tips about estate and asset protection planning.
Jeff, you've written extensively about a trust you call the HISET Trust. What is it and where is it best utilized?
The HISET Trust is what we affectionately refer to as the Flexible Gift Trust. You remember back in 2011, Congress and the President signed a bill that increased the gift tax exemption from $1 million to $5 million. If you take $5 million and you invest it over 30 years, that's a 6% rate of return, you're going to turn that $5 million into about $30 million. But if you do it inside your taxable estate, you're going to pay roughly $12 million in estate taxes, 40%. So the thinking was give the $5 million away to a trust for your kids and let the appreciation grow outside the estate. Well, the problem was people who just came out of the 2009 recession were not going to put $5 million into a trust when they might need the money for themselves. And so I thought that if there wasn't a way that the taxpayer could get those assets back, then people weren't going to utilize the $5 million gift exemption. I found a way to do this. A person can create a trust, like in a state like Nevada, put an asset up to $5 million into their trust, and 30 years from now, when the assets are $30 or $40 million, there's going to be no estate tax. But if along the way the taxpayer needs or wants some of those assets back, he need only ask the trustee for a distribution, and the trustee would have the power to do that. Now, you can't do that with a trust located in the state of California, but if we go to Nevada or Alaska or Delaware, Wyoming, their laws allow for this. When I discovered that we could do this, I wrote down our clients can have their cake and eat it too, and that acronym spells HISET. Now, I've never had a client invoke that provision, but it's there in case they need it.
To contact the Jeffrey M. Verdon Law Group, call 949-333-8150 or visit them online at jmvlaw.com.
Hey everyone, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach. I want you to take just a few minutes and think about all of your assets that you've worked so hard to accumulate in your lifetime. Your business, your properties, your major assets. You're proud of those assets and you don't want anybody to take those away. However, there are many forces at work that are out to get your assets. Lawsuits, taxes, unforeseen financial calamities. You need a firm like the Jeffrey Verdon Law Group to help you look out for your assets and protect your future. They use practical and effective and elegant estate planning strategies that are individually designed to meet your specific goals and objectives. They believe in using their knowledge and expertise to create long-term effective strategies that safeguard your assets and your loved ones. Don't leave things to chance. Call the Jeffrey Verdon Law Group today and ask them how they can help you protect your assets. Their phone number is 877-774-9238. That's 877-774-9238. Tell them the Exit Coach sent you.
At BEI, Business Enterprise Institute, our mission is helping owners benefit from their life's work. We accomplish this by providing comprehensive, continual exit planning training, marketing support, certification, and plan design to business owner advisors. Thousands of exit plans have been created over the past 10 years by hundreds of advisors using our planning software to help owners grow, protect, and transfer business value. To learn more about exit planning and BEI, call us toll-free at 888-206-3009 or visit us online at www.exitplanning.com. That's going to do it for the show today. I want to thank you for joining us. I'd like to thank my guests, my sponsors, and my producer, Julie Tabazon, for pulling the show together. It's been a real pleasure to be with you today. I want to remind you, go to our website at exitcoachradio.com, and you can dig into all kinds of interviews with advisors, including our past interviews here on AM 830. And follow us on Twitter at exitcoach. We'll see you again next week here on AM 830 KLAA. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.